Well, it wasn't too long ago, but just a little while ago, you and I had the opportunity of being in studio. We're back in studio again, Denny. And, you know, one of the things I guess that's really important is the way Chad's fishing and the great job he's doing right now.
I'm so proud of that boy. I think having a father in the industry probably puts a little more pressure on you, and I think he's handled it real good. His work ethics are great. He's done well with sponsors. He's done well with the media, and I guess I'm just one proud father.
Well, you need to be. You know, he's first 2 years out of the shoot, he wins an Old Hickory event, and he's had a great career. Last year, Angler of the Year looked like it was in his sights. You know, he worked really hard and carried it for quite a while, but did, you know, make the Classic and had some of those kind of things happen for him. But he's really a good, versatile angler, too.
He really is. He's a lot more versatile than his father. He's a lot smarter at figuring things out and trying other things, where I'm kind of at the point where I'm bullheaded and I'm going to go try to make it happen the way I want to make it happen. And the fish don't always agree with me. I think he figures it out faster.
Well, what about the biology part? You know, I mean, he's a fisheries biology guy. That's what he went to school to do. Do you think that helps him, or does that help you guys when you guys talk and get ready to do your fishing thing?
Oh, I definitely think it helps. He's very, very educated in that regard. I think going to college definitely gave him an edge. He understands the environment totally. He understands what's going on with the weather, the fishery itself. I think that helps shortcut him to fish once in a while. So, yeah, I pick his mind probably as much as he picks mine.
Well, it's funny. I remember an interview he and I did not too long ago, and he was talking about term papers and finishing up college, and he said professors were getting so tired of talking about bass that he had to come up with something different every once in a while. But that was really, he lived it. I mean, he's lived his whole life.
Yeah, he really has. I can remember having him in a John boat in diapers when we were still living up in Nebraska. So he's grown up with the sport. He traveled to tournaments with me. We'd always let him skip a week or two of school every year and go to a couple events. And he truly wanted to do this for a living, and I think he did it right by going and getting his education and then jumping out there. Makes you a little bit more of a tour when you do get out there. You can handle all the things of being on the road, which some people can't. And like I say, he's done an excellent job, but he may not be the last.
Well, I know there's one coming down the road. Let's talk about your grandson.
Yeah, the grandson is, I mean, he's beyond hope, I think. When a 10-year-old youngster knows exactly what he wants to do the rest of his life, that's a little bit scary. And he's trying to convince Chad and I that he is going to follow in our footsteps and that he is going to be very, very successful. And he's got us both believing him because he can flat go out and catch bass.
Well, you know, you got a story, and I think you ought to relay that story about watching a Denny Brower video. Now, he watched it a couple of times, right?
Well, when I did a flipping video back probably 6-7 years ago, I want to say he was like 4 years old when the tape first came out, and I gave him a copy of it, and he took it home, and he watched it 5 hours. This is a one-hour tape, and he actually watched it 5 hours the first day, and his mother got so sick, and so did Chad, of hearing that tape time and time again, but he got to the point where he totally memorized it. And I thought, well, I'm going to have him as a guest on one of my – I was doing the bass class shows back then. And so we're out there, and we caught a bunch of fish, and we decided to do the sit-down part and really tell the fans about the lures and how we were catching them. And we thought it would be kind of cute if we had him talk about what we were doing and the different color baits and that. So I convinced him to just talk to the camera. Well, he started in. And I'm sitting on the rod locker, and he keeps going, and he keeps going. And suddenly I realize he's going word for word, you know, the same stuff I said on my flipping tape. And we all got to laughing. It was beyond funny. And all of a sudden he turns around, he looks at me, and he goes, "Grandpa, this is serious." And he turns right back around, looks into the camera, and keeps talking and going on with his little seminar. It's some of the most precious footage we've ever had. And of all the shows, I think I've done TV for about 8 years now, we got more feedback from that one episode than we have from anything else.
Well, we don't want to diminish the skills either. This young man's got great skills. I mean, he's been out with Grandpa. He's been out with his dad. And he's not only just, you know, likes to talk the game, watch the videos, do that kind of stuff. He's got some skills as well.
Well, he's a very smart young man. He's way beyond the chart, intelligent-wise, gets to go to special classes. So not bragging on him from a scholastic standpoint, but because he is a very smart student, he picks up on things on the water very, very fast. And he hangs on every word. He doesn't forget things. He watches the fishing shows. He reads Bassmaster magazine, et cetera. So he's acquiring a lot of knowledge. His physical skills are good, but they're not as good as they're going to get because he doesn't get to spend that much time on the water, obviously with school and everything. But he can flip, he can skip, he can pitch, he can cast a Carolina rig, you name it, he can do it, and he can flat catch him.
Well, you know, I think you probably go out and have competitions with him. Now that he's 10, I'm sure you and he go out and you're able to do that. Now, what's he feel like when he doesn't catch him, or what's he feel like when Grandpa gets one ahead?
Well, he's way too competitive, in my opinion, because he doesn't like to be beaten. He doesn't like to be beaten basketball, baseball, fishing, whatever it is. And if you're smart and you're wanting to go in, you start letting him get ahead of you fish-wise because you're not going in until he's ahead of you. He's just very, very competitive, works hard at it, and I'm very, very proud of him, as you can tell.
Well, you know, you guys were talking to me about the fact that, you know, Chad and you both talked to me about the fact that he'll stay out there 10, 12 hours a day to go out there and fish. Is that Grandpa rubbing off, or are you ready to come in before he is a lot of times?
No, Grandpa's kind of one of these that likes to get out about 2 hours before it's light and come in 2 hours after it gets dark. So that may be a little of my tenacity rubbing off on him. But a perfect example, we went down to El Salto in Mexico this fall, and there was 11 of us who went on the trip, and Kobe went with us, and we fished for 4 days, and it gets very, very hot down there, and he fished from dawn to dark all 4 days, and half our party was ready to give it up and drop, and he's just ready to get, he would have fished for another 10 days in a row, and he absolutely caught some big fish down there and had the time of his life.
Well, you know, it's great to have that, and that's what this sport's really about. If you really look at it and you dial in close enough, it's about the youth and what we're trying to do with them, and getting kids involved and getting them actively involved. You know, there's a lot of people talk about it, but when you see it in action, there's some real power in that.
There really is. It's probably one of the strongest things we can do is get kids involved in the outdoors. And I just enjoy it so much when I'm doing an appearance or a seminar and a family comes rather than just a father by himself, when he brings the whole family to where they can get involved. That, you know, that's something you can pass down and it'll be there for years and years. The biggest problems families have is communication. And if you're doing something in common like fishing, you always have something to communicate about.
Well, Denny, you've been doing TV now, you said, about 8 years, and now you got this new program called School with Denny Brower. It's got to be a hoot to do that. I mean, you've had more fun at that. I see a smile on your face on every show. Have you had to hammer anybody yet?
Yeah, we do, and we get some negative feedback when we pick on people too bad, and I don't want to turn into Simon, but it is fun, and I think everybody sees the humor in it, and we're trying to keep it lighthearted, but make it a learning experience. That's what that show is all about, to point out the mistakes that you know, we all make on the water, not just the amateur anglers. Us anglers as pros make some of those same mistakes. Luckily, I'm on the other side of the camera where I can pick on them a little bit, but, you know, some of them can point out a lot of things I do wrong on the water, too.
Well, I remember Mike Witten in particular. He had a show with him, and he had one hand on the rod, and I have guys now come up to me, you know, you'll be fishing along, and they say, hey, man, Denny Brower says you're supposed to keep both hands on the rod.
Yeah, you know, I say a lot of things, and not everybody agrees with them. I'm always hammering the guys for grabbing their line to land fish, and I had somebody at a seminar last week. They go, man, you're talking about grabbing a line. Well, I just watch Bassmasters, and about every pro I see is grabbing a line. I says, that doesn't make it right.
That's right. That's what's part of it. Now, you know, you've got a reputation. Of course, you've won Bassmaster Classic Angler of the Year. You were the FLW Angler of the Year. You've won, you know, bunches and bunches of events. What are some of the goals? What are some of the goals that you have yet?
Oh, boy, I guess I should have some. I'm not sure I do. I just continue enjoying the sport. I guess that's my biggest goal right now, and I am enjoying it at this point. I'll reach a time probably where the body will say, whoa, this is not as much fun as it used to be. And when that time comes, maybe I'll just start doing TV or whatever. But right now, as far as the tournament end of it, obviously we got that $2 million mark coming up. And, you know, that would really be something neat for my sponsors if I could get across that in the near future and be the first angler in Bassmaster history to do that. So I don't know if that's a goal, but it's something that hopefully will happen.
Well, I need to allude to that, is the fact that you were the, you know, first $1 million guy, and now you're going to be the first $2 million guy potentially.
I wasn't the first $2 million. I wasn't the first $1 million guy. Larry Nixon was. But hopefully I can be the first $2 million guy.
Well, you're the leading money winner anyway, that's for sure. And you know, it's nice to see. I'm glad you got to come in studio. You know, every once in a while I get that opportunity, and I really appreciate you being here with us.
I appreciate you having me, Terry.
I'm Terry Brown, and this has been Bass Fan Radio.